This is Love and Tension Part 2. Last time we were talking about that storm. We asked them the question, why are you afraid? So I want to go today to Proverbs 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. No sorrow with it. Now keep that in mind, and we talk about the storm. Jesus wasn't rebuking them about when they ask them why they're afraid. He's asking almost like a child would ask, like, why? I don't understand. And the disciples, I want you to understand where they were. They're kind of like in the twilight zone. They're in the old covenant, but yet the new covenant's sitting in the boat with them. So they got kind of like 1 foot out, but they're babes. So we're talking about life here in the Holy Spirit, abiding in Christ, being one with Christ. They knew nothing of that. Jesus knew that, but yet he still asked them, why are you afraid? Now he's asking old covenant disciples. Oh, you see what I'm getting at? Why are you afraid? I know you're in a storm that's about to tear you to pieces. It's like a hurricane. But I'm asking you, why are you afraid? Now, I mean, this wasn't after Pentecost that he asked them. This was before Pentecost. And this is basic, because Jesus expected them not to be afraid. This is before the giving of the Holy Spirit. So if that's the case, then we got to expect that God expected Old Testament believers to live in this freedom, in this liberty, free from anxiety, free from fear, free from worry. How many of you in here are free from worry? We quote scriptures all day long, truth will make you free, but are you really free? Yeah, I think about these things. How much fear controls. We live in a world that's driven by fear. Fear runs the world. Fear runs the world. I mean, if you think, why are you afraid of the smallest thing? We're talking about bees. I mean, you know, why are we afraid of bees? Well, if I get stung, it hurts. I might die. You know, why are we afraid of spiders? What if a thing bites me and my arm falls off? We live in fear. What if that fly gets on my food and poisons it? And then we live in fear. We live in fear of everything. Fear of storms, fear of money, fear of work, fear of neighbors, fear of bears, fear of dogs, fear of cats, fear of people. Oh gosh, what if they make fun of me? What if I park in the wrong spot? I mean, what if I do something wrong and everybody laughs at me? We live in fear. Live in fear. People get up in the morning, plan their day around their fear. You do realize that, don't you? People plan their day around their fear. People go to church and shout glory for God and go home and worry how they're going to buy kids' school clothes. Where's the money going to come from? Oh, we had a great service today. How in the world am I going to do this? Right? I mean, we live in fear. Anxious. We live in the richest nation in the world. Richest nation in the world. You realize that. We live in the richest nation in the history of mankind. Got more drug addicts in the history of mankind. Wonder why that is. Richest nation, prosperity everywhere. And when I'm talking drug addicts, we got legal drug addicts. You know what I mean? Drug addiction has become legal because the doctors will give you anything you want. Why? To drown out the anxiety, to drown out the fear, to drown out the worry. Why? Because I'm scared and I need something to help me get through the day. Because I can't make it. It's going to crush me. It's too much. I can't handle it. Anxiety, depression, despair. Everything the gospel declares I'm free from, right? I mean, but see, in the church world, we've got it separated. This is churchy stuff. This is worldly stuff. Over here, free, free, free. Great church service. So over here, give me another pill. Give me another drink. Over here, love to go to church. Free, free, free. Over here, another pill. Really? Because we got a great division. Got a great division. There is no division. I want you to understand that. I mean, we sang that song. Jeff picked that song. I didn't pick that song. I'm free. Do we really believe that? Oh, I'm free when I feel it. I'm free. But I mean, are you free from your worry and anxiety and depression and despair? And I mean, are you really free? People will say, well, brother, pray for you. Why? I mean, because we got worry. And we think, I mean, we create a heaven. What is heaven? What is heaven to everybody? Free from worry. Oh, I'm glad I'll see mommy and daddy again. I'm glad, you know. But really, I want to go to a place where I don't have any worry. Jesus asked the question, why are you afraid? He was asking old covenant people. Now you got something they didn't even have. So it's really even almost an impossibility. Why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why do you have anxiety? Did not Jesus stay? Why? I mean, do you think you can add one cubit to your stature by taking any thought? But we grow up trained to worry. We're trained in anxiety. It comes on to... You know, I see these little people on Facebook. I'll put little girls on there and they talk about the clothes and just everything. And you just know... Here by the time they're about 7 or 8 years old, they'll just fall right in suit, follow mom and daddy, go right down the great path of worry, the great path of anxiety, the great path of stomach ulcers and stomach problems and despair and depression. Hopefully, you know, trying to live out the dream, but no freedom. I mean, what did Jesus come to make you free from? Oh, we live in a free nation, do we? Oh, you can go to any store you want, but you know you can. I know people that are free in the United States to go to as many doctors as they can to get as many pills as they can. They're free to do that. They're free to go to Florida. They're free to go online and order pills from Canada. I mean, why am I harping about this stuff? Because we're supposed to be free, but here we are, a nation full of depression. This is where we live. We live in a drug-infested little community that we have more drug overdoses right in Tazewell County than they do in Fairfax County. More depression, more despair, more anxiety. And where's the freedom? Where's the liberty? I come to proclaim liberty, Jesus said. I come to proclaim liberty. Set the captives free. Free from what? They would look at him like people look at me and say, brother, I'm free. I mean, they looked at Jesus and like said, you're going to tell us we're Abraham's sons. We're free. You're a slave to sin. He that sins is a slave to sin. But I come to declare freedom, liberty. The blessing of the Lord maketh one what? Rich. Let me keep on going here. I hope. Do you know the first words that Adam spoke in the Bible? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I mean, so I hid from God. I'm afraid. Do you know the first words when the new covenant was, or when the covenant was about to explode into the world in Genesis 15, when God begins to really speak to Abraham, you know his first words? Abram, fear not. Why? Because fear had infested everything. Abram, before I even make a covenant here, I want you to fear not. I want you to know that I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Yes. Fear not. Jesus is about to be born into the world. How does the angel show up to the Virgin Mary? What does he say? Fear not. Why would he make that statement? I mean, it's a statement that goes all the way back in the Old Testament. Fear not, because the first words of Adam was, I'm afraid. It's why we live in a society that's full of drug addicts and alcoholics and workaholics and everything else, is because we're afraid and I want to hide in something. There's more addicts than just drugs and alcohol. I know people that eat themselves to death. I know people that worry themselves to death. We call them worry warts. I mean, why wouldn't, if worry is such a good thing, I heard a guy tell me this one time. He said, look, the more you love, the more you worry. What verse is that? 2 Jude? You know, I mean, but see, this is because we want to justify our worry. I'm telling you what, if people would come to church and really, because people are drinking sin, cussing sin, the shirt you got on is not, you know, all that sin. What if we got up and said, worry is sin? They'd all go to another church. But it is. It's not of God. You're not more holy because you worry more. You ought to be sleeping in the back of the boat with Jesus. I just want, you know, to get that point cross. That's the reason John would come in and say, perfect love does what? Perfect love gets along with fear. Perfect love and fear, they walk down the street together holding hands. I believe it says perfect love kicks out fear. So what do? We go, we used to say, let's go to church and we hope perfect love comes. Well, perfect love is here because he lives in me and he lives in you. So, perfect love. It's at the heart of the gospel. No fear. No fear. Too many people think the heart of the gospel is I'm going to heaven when I die. Not saying nothing wrong with that. But the heart of the gospel is, fear not. Just think, if we get people to understand that. People think I'm going to heaven when I die is at the heart of the gospel, and they live their Christian life filled with worry and anxiety. The world is full of darkness and full of trouble and full of worry and full of anxiety. You would think that church people would want to stop living like the world. They ought to be able to see a reason for the hope that is in you. You got something different about you, and come and ask you why you look different. Everybody else is worried. Why aren't you worried? They ought to be able to see a difference. But you can't. You walk down the street, you can't tell any difference between a Christian and a pagan. Because they're all worried. They're all full of anxiety. They're all full of depression. They're all full of fear. Which really means that they don't understand the gospel at all. I know that's a bold statement to make, but that's really the truth. They don't understand the gospel at all. The kingdom of heaven is what? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Do we really believe that? Well, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is another way of saying it's the absence of anxiety and worry. There's a whole lot of people, I don't know if you guys know this, I don't know how you talk with other people. can tell you the date of the second coming of Jesus. They know the name of the Antichrist. You know what I mean? I just heard yesterday that they're in celebration right here in Tazewell County because they got news of a red heifer being born. And they're gonna offer up that red heifer over there. These are Christian people. Isn't that good that we need a stinking cow? Because Jesus' blood wasn't good enough. I mean, do you ever think of the stupidity that comes out of people? Jesus' blood wasn't good enough, so we need another cow. I mean, you know, in my Bible it talks about he never wanted them sacrifices anyway. The blood of bulls and goats could never. It's terrible, terrible. But they know all these things, and yet in great anxiety over buying school clothes. You know, I'm just... God doesn't care if you know the date or who the Antichrist is. I just want to throw that out. He doesn't really care. You might have it all figured out. But heaven groans at your word because he is concerned. He asks the question, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? I don't know if we get these questions, let them sink down. And heaven groans at our worry and our despair and our anxiety. You know, Paul tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. I mean, do we really believe those things that we quench out the Holy Spirit in our worry and our fear and our anxiety? Because we don't rest in the perfect love of God? Because obviously we don't trust Him. I mean, the first words of the gospel are, fear not. It's basic. These words go all the way back. I told you all the way back, Genesis, you know. So they're there, fear not, before Jesus even came. So Jesus is just not coming to set us free, make us free from anxiety and fear, but really to bring us into a whole new world, a world of creativity, a world full of wonderful imagination, a wonderful thoughts, a world of perfect love. But we got, now let me explain something here. Fear is the energy of the lie. We got to understand this. The great lie. The great lie was you'll be as God, independent of God. You got to understand that. The great lie, you'll be independent of God. You'll be God, independent of God. So fear's this great, it's the energy. And what the New Testament calls the flesh. You've heard that word many times, the flesh. That's me. That's my mortality thinking. I can handle life by myself. I can handle it by myself. I can do this. And that's a lie that controls the human race. And fear's the energy that comes out of that lie. I can handle this. Do you realize that people come to church with their mask on? Because of the fear. We call it religion, but we've all did it. We've all put our mask on before we came in. We've all wore our mask because, gosh, what if they... See, when I walk into the church, I am Pastor Jim, right? Y'all know I walked on water getting up here, right? Didn't even drive in a car, just, you know. I've never stepped in dog mess before. I hover above it. You know what I'm talking about. That's why I was saying this a minute ago. I mean about, you know, boldness. Fear keeps us all. Listen, the moment I start thinking I've got some kind of liberty, there'll be some light of the Lord come, and I'll realize I'm in bondage in this area too. I may be free over here, but I'm still in bondage over here. And I thank God for that, that the Lord is, works with me. You know, I don't have to be depressed about it. I can thank God that He's shown me these things. But I'm in bondage over here. There is a great liberty that has come. See, when I live in the flesh, you know what my flesh, you know, Patty was talking about this, the flesh thinks it's the center of the universe. Now, if you ask people, they'll say, no, I'm not the center of the universe. But they will surely act like it. You know, really, like in Hebrew days, they would never ask you what you believe. They would just follow you around. Because what you believe, you will live out there. You will live out there. You know, I mean, it's I don't know, we call them these things hypocritical. If you ever went to a restaurant and on Sundays the Christians are over there praying over the food really, really loud? Have you ever ate with them on Monday? This stinking thing is not what I ordered. You put mayonnaise on it. Take it back. These fries are old. Pop stale. How long have I got to wait on my cup? Sunday. Oh, bless Lord. Bless God. Thank you. You see what I mean? I follow them around. Follow them around. See how they really act. You know what I'm talking about. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear brings in darkness of spirit, you know. Fear means I really don't believe in God's love. I don't trust His love. I'm on my own. God may let me down. God may be asleep somewhere. You know, these were the prophets of Baal. That, you know, Elijah asked him, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's on a long journey. Maybe you need to pray more. Ah. You see, we got this illusion. Well, there's no way God blessed me this week. You know how much I read the Bible this week? None. How in the world could God bless me this week? There's a lot of people believe that. So then what do we do? I gotta try harder. I gotta work harder. I gotta do more. I gotta try harder, and I'm living in fear. And then this week I read 22 chapters, and it was really, really, I had a really blessed week. But the next week I had to work a lot, and I couldn't really read, and I was tired, really didn't feel like it, and there's no way I could be blessed next week. So I'm back in fear. You see, I mean, we're talking Christianity here because we don't understand grace. We don't understand any of these things. So we live in fear. And some preacher gets up and brings more condemnation to you. You know, Paul would tell us that in the spirit of life, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do we really believe that? Condemnation doesn't come from Him. Well, you sinned last week. Well, hold your taters. You're going to do it. You're going to mess up again this week. I prophesy you will blow it this week. You'll mess it up. You'll probably step in dog mess. The reason I say that, because we went to the festival yesterday and somebody must have been walking their dogs, because we go to eat, somebody steps in dog mess right beside of where you're eating. Well, you know how the rest of that is. Who let the dog in here? But this fear, this comes in. What happens to fear? Fear gets a hold of your imaginations. And you know what? You, all of you are movie makers. All of you are directors, producers, and actors in the movie. The movie called Fear. Because, man, let it go on. Oh, I can just see this happening. I know where this is going to end up, right? Fear. I know where this is going to end up. I know. Oh, gosh. I have done this. I know that, well, it's going to end up with me losing my car, and I'm going to lose my car. Or, you know, we could start out with, you know, something breaks down. Something. I hear a noise in the car. And the noise could be that a squirrel got in there. We've had this thing happen and put acorns up in the fan. But in my mind, Kathy, in my mind, it's going to be the most expensive part on the car. They're going to have to call China, put their workers to work to make the part, ship it over for $12,000. The part costs $19,000 plus $12,000 shipping, and we ain't even got to the mechanics bill yet, which is going to cost $178,000, but the car is only worth $2,500. But this is what it's going to take. Then, on top of that, my car's going to be down. I ain't going to be able to go to work. I'm going to miss pay. And when I miss pay, I'm going to be able to eat. I'm going to be kicked out of my house because I can't have my payment. Electricity's going to be gone. I'm going to be on the street because an acorn is in the fan on the car. Now, guys, this is a character, but this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we live in called fear. Why are you afraid? I'm just telling you, that's where we're at. It brings us to paralysis. And you know, Josh might tell you this, but do you know, when you're in that paralysis, in that weakness, your body becomes open to every type of disease coming and going. You know, there are times when your body is strong and you walk in the bed. There are times when everything you catch it coming and going. Why? Because you're not living out of a state of strength. You're living out of a state of anxiety and worry. Why do you think when they take some people and they quarantine them, they isolate them to try to get strength back in the body? Do you realize this? That doctors don't heal anybody. Josh said, what? No. They put your body in a position to heal itself. Am I right?
Right.
They put your body in a position to heal itself. They isolate you, give you medicine, something to boost because you have an immune system. Well, we have a Holy Spirit, but we don't operate out of the Holy Spirit. We operate out of fear, which is the darkness which opens up and comes into our bodies and actually destroys our bodies. He said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you're opening yourself up, and you'll be susceptible to all of this. All of this, and then it causes you to become a failure, become a loser because of fear. You become commanded by life instead of commanding life. So people numb themselves out of that reality. That's what they do. Now, the gospel, I want you to get this, is not merely the absence of fear. That would it's not coming in and taking something out. That would leave a void in you. Remember the guy, he talks about coming into the house and cleaning the house out. The house was empty. When you get an empty house and then seven more devils come back worse than the first. If you're with drug addicts or whatever, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, never just takes the addiction away. He fills it with himself. It's not a taking away. In a sense, it's a giving to. It's an addition. God doesn't come in like a preacher and say, well, you know, you do that, you're going to go to hell. You sin, you're going to go to hell. He comes in and says, wouldn't you rather have this? Isn't that the way it works? And then once you get this, you wonder why you ever did that to start with. He's never the negative. When I say that, he is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He's not the negative. He says, fear not. And he gives you reasons why you shouldn't fear. Why did he tell Abraham, why not? He said, fear not, Abraham. Here's why. I am your shield. Your exceeding great reward. Your shield. Do you know what a shield is? You know, in my mind, I'm thinking of Captain America and his shield. throw something at Captain America, boom, he's got the shield. And that's literally what it is. It was a buckler, a small shield that goes on the arm. So when they threw the darts at you, I could fight them all. And God himself says, I am your shield. God tells you, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I mean, before we even go into the covenant, before we even go into anything, fear not, Abram, I want you to understand something. I am your shield. I mean, these great things, the walls of Jerusalem, the gates of salvation, and God himself has said, I'm it for you. I'm it. I'm it. I'm it for you. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. So the gospel comes in saying, fear not. The gospel gives you a blessing. That's what I want to talk to you about here real quick. And this blessing, Patty was talking about boldness. I want you to understand there's no boldness without the blessing. Hear what I'm telling you, because I'm faced with this very fact this week. Boldness. I've been praying about boldness for a long time. The blessed person is one who is bold. The blessed person is one who is bold. Not wimpy. Not terrified. Not fear. But bold. And instead of being paralyzed, you're creative. You see what others can't see because you imagine life in a different world. They're imagining what this noise could be, what this thing could be. But now you imagine life. You're now filled with the presence of God. You imagine with his imaginations. His thoughts become your thoughts. And they're bold. And you're strengthened. This applies to everything. We made the divisions. I was talking to you a minute ago about the divisions. We give more importance to some things and not others. I mean, we give, you know, we thank preachers and preaching and all this other stuff. But, you know, there's no difference. There's no difference. Do you know how many preachers was in the Old Testament? There wasn't any. There was no preachers in the Old Testament. Abraham wasn't a preacher. He was a shepherd. What about David? He was king. He was a shepherd. He wasn't preachers. We don't get into preaching until we get into Paul and Peter and all that. Those guys in the Old Testament, they were businessmen, wasn't they? They were business people, landowners. So there's no secular world and then the spiritual. It's God all in all. God owns the whole thing. I mean, did he not say all the sheep, you know, cattle on a thousand hills are mine, all the sheep are mine? I mean, it's all mine. You think, well, this is good. Where is he not? What doesn't he own? He owns it all. So there is no, well, you know, we had a real spiritual day. Now I got to go home and clean up. It's the same. It's the same. I didn't used to know that, but it's the same. But in this blessing, wherever you find yourself is this blessing of God. Our trouble is we devalue the word just like we do with most everything else. We devalue the word blessing. You know, little kids bless mommy and bless daddy, right? Nothing wrong with that. And I remember, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when we grew up, as soon as you started to speak, they would always call on you in public to pray. I hated that. Never knew what to pray. You know, I want you old folkies to pray. Call on me. I'm 16. You want me to stand up here in public and pray? So you do the all and bless everybody. You guys ever did that? Well, bless everybody. Hallelujah. I we don't even know what we're doing. But even if we don't know what we're doing, it's a good word. But if we do know what we're doing, it's a word that'll bring us into another universe. So what does it mean? Well, it's one of the oldest words in the human language. First time it's used is in Genesis, and God blessed them. You know, he blessed the whales and everything, but he blessed them, Adam and Eve. And he blessed them right in the beginning. Blessing is there, and it runs all the way through the end of the Bible. But people don't know what it means, and they don't know how to use it. And they certainly don't know how to live in the blessing. You hear what I'm telling you? How to live in the blessing? Let me give you the root word here, the Hebrew root word. It means to kneel. To kneel. And it means to show respect to the person I'm going to bless because I'm going to give them great honor. I'm going to give them great dignity because they're worthy of the blessing. Do you see what's going on here? Now that's one side of the kneel. The other side is the one receiving the blessing kneels to acknowledge, I need the blessing. I'm helpless without it, so I kneel to receive the blessing. But the word itself, I gave you the root word was to kneel. The word itself means a good word spoken. And this is a good word spoken out from the eternal love intention of God. God loves you. He has a love intention for your life, and it's spoken from God. And the word that's being spoken empowers the person. They become clothed with the power of God. Do you see? God blessed them. They had no ability to have dominion, to be fruitful and multiple. They had no dominion, but God clothed them with His word and empowered them to do those very things. And you know, the scripture says that he repents not of those things. He doesn't take them back. He didn't take it back from Adam and Eve, did he? He didn't take it back when they sinned and fell. He says, okay, guys, you blew it, I'm taking it. Still went right on. Still went right on. So it's a word of power. It describes the life of God released in you, into your spirit, into your mind, into your emotions, into your physical body, into everything. Now, if this is the life of God, only God can say that word. Only He can give it to you. Because He's the source. He's the only one that can bless. And when He has blessed, listen to this, none can take it away. You remember the Balaams? Balaam goes up on the hill, looks down at Israel. Balaam says, curse them. He says, I see them. They're blessed. I can't curse them. I mean, this is in the old covenant. Do you realize that if you've been blessed of God, I don't care how many Balaams are up on the hills looking down on you, trying to curse you, they can't. Why? Because, Abram, I am your shield. And your exceeding great reward. They may send them down. They may throw them at you. But remember, I'm your shield. None can take it away. I have blessed you. Do we even get that? I have blessed you. And the beginning of this blessing is fear not. I mean, do you think Israel's down on the hill and they're shouting and they're, all right, this is glorious and all right, everything's great. And somebody goes, is that Balaam up there on the hill? Oh, yeah, it's over. We're going to be cursed. I know that guy, he's a prophet from way back. Our God's too weak. Guys, go to your tents. No more celebration. Tear the tent down, Moses said. They didn't pay a bit more attention to Balaam up there on the hill than nothing. You see what I'm talking about? But how do we do in the church one? Glory, hallelujah. Great church service today. There's Balaam. Oh. Oh, no. See, I mean, this is what we do. Don't know if God's able. Don't know if God will. What do you mean I will? Be thou whole. That's what he said. What do you mean if I will or not? Why do you even ask me that question? I will be there whole. I can't. that you might have life, and what? Abundant life.
Yes.
God honors you with His great love for you. You are the honored of God. You are the blessed of God. You're the beloved of God. And you know, wherever you are, and I know it's kind of unique because whatever arena you're in, that's where the blessing is going to come out, where the revelation is going to come out. He's going to bring to definition His love in whatever the situation. It defines your place in history. Whatever you're doing, whoever you are, wherever you are, you're the blessed of God, and none can take it away. It's a word of life, fullness of life, increasing life, abounding life. Everything moving to life. You do realize everything moving to life. Blessing is a word of power. It brings empowerment. It has the power within it to bring it to pass. My word shall not return unto me void. That word is empty. It shall accomplish thereunto where I sent it. So His word comes. If it's going to accomplish something, that means His word has come and it has intention. Does it not? I mean, do you really realize God has intention? His word has come into you. His word in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it comes in with intention. It's not just there. It's not just there, Patty. I mean, we think, oh, He's there. Why is He there? He's there to tickle me and to make me feel good. Oh, great. Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying it won't affect your emotions. Oh, yeah, it'll affect your emotions. It better. But He comes there with intention. I come to make you free.
Yes, yes.
I mean, what if you could give your kids anything in this world, would you not give them success? I mean, would you? Would you give them success? And in that success, wouldn't it be that you would not have to worry a day in your life? People even come up with inheritance, and they say, well, you know, my mom and dad, they died, and they left me an inheritance. I got millions of dollars. He'll never have to worry another day in his life. And you and I know that's baloney. He'll start spending the rest of his life doing nothing but worrying. Right? Because of the fear. God is coming to your life. Do you realize when God comes into your life? So, you know, He tells Israel, I'm like the dew. You ever study dew? I'm talking D-E-W, dew. You know, I went to bed last night. Grass was dry. I got up this morning. It was wet. I don't know where it come from. It just happened. It's all over my windshield. It's all over my car. Do. In other words, it just snuck in there, right? God just sneaks into your life, don't it? I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, all I know is it was dry yesterday, and I got up this morning, and it was wet. God has snuck into my life last night. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't send an invitation. I didn't send Him an invitation. All I know is, boom, He was there. When you're a blessed person, do you realize you're like a giant magnet? Right people show up in your life at the right time. Things just happen. I mean, in my mind, I go back, how did we get this building? We didn't, you know, guys, I drove this road out here 12 years. Didn't even know this building was up here. 12 years, I just drove by. Going down to St. Paul, didn't even know the building was up here. Now, how did we even get the building? Who would have thought? We didn't have any money. Boom, it just happened. Just the blessing of God. The right people come into your life. You're like a giant magnet. Now listen, and the other people come in your life, and you come into other people's life. Have you ever heard people say, man, you showed up at the right time? Because you become a blessing to somebody else, somebody that was really, really needing it. So I mean, I can see weight and glory and all of these things come into it. It just happens. How? Just snuck in, Patty. I don't know. It was dry last night. I got up this morning. The ground was all wet. just snuck in. Why? Because you're blessed, because he sent his word, and it will not return void. Yeah. It shall accomplish whereunto I've sent it. Why are you afraid? Don't leave the question, why are you afraid? I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. Now, I'm not saying you won't have trouble. You still have trouble. But in the midst of the trouble, what? I got a shield. I got a refuge. Blessed. The scripture says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. That spills over into everything in our life. You're empowered. You have ability to bring forth a blessing into history. Do you realize you're the conveyor into your world of the life and of the love of God? It's not going to get into your world except to come through you. I mean, do you realize that? That's the reason the church has got to grow up, because we want to leave, and God is doing everything that he can, but he chose to work through the salt. He chose to work through people to get his love into that situation. Christians want to get out of the situations, and he's wanting you in the situation so that he can bring his love and blessing into the situation to change it. Christians want to get out of it. You have the ability to give birth. Why did Paul say, till Christ be formed in you? That's where he said the church is a woman, because you have the ability to bring that's invisible,
yes,
into the seen world.
Yes.
You have the ability to bring the love of God, which you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't taste it, but you can bring it into manifestation into the real world. That's what the church is, the manifestors of the love of God to the world. And you've been blessed and empowered to do that. So why are you afraid? Now, if you're afraid, does fear and boldness go together? Paul says we have boldness. But let me tell you something. The great thief of fear has come in and robbed your boldness. That's why we can't speak to disease. That's why it ruins us. That's why we're beat up by it and beat down by it and worry about it. Somebody's got to be bold to go into ALS and say no. But we go in it with fear. It's a mighty thing. We're intimidated by it. And Jesus said, this storm, you're intimidated by this? Even Abram should have been intimidated by that. And you have something even greater that he longed for. You have the Holy Spirit. He didn't even know. He couldn't even imagine that. He couldn't even imagine that. It's a word of power. That's why. With power comes what? With power comes authority. You know that you're blessed. Then you become energized. Not energized with fear. You know that you're loved of God. When you know you're loved of God, you know you begin to walk in anticipation of the blessing. What we call that is hope. I mean, we just miss these things. Think of Peter, or think of Paul in the Philippian jail. Beat to a pulp. Finally, when he comes to, he's got so much joy and excitement and anticipation of the blessing of God, he can't contain it. Do you think Paul said, okay, turn in the red back hymnal? Psalm 121. And we will sing. Do you think he did that? He just started singing. Because Peter or Paul got so excited in anticipation of the blessing of God, and he's down in the lowest prison, and he says, man, God is so good, and I'm so excited. Let's just sing. I can't wait to see what God is going to do here. God is awesome. I know I'm the blessed of God, and this is awesome. And he began to sing, and the whole prison shook, and the gates come loose, and here they were. The man says, oh, God, have mercy on me. Paul, just says it. We ain't going nowhere. We're right here. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? In other words, Paul, I want what you got.
Yes.
I want what you got. And Paul is able to go in and baptize him and his whole family. I want what you got.
Yes.
I see some boldness here. I see some not fear. We like to put people down in the dark because it gets them afraid and we can keep them subdued. But you got something, Paul. You got something that I want. How do we do it? Do we sing praises? Do we wait in anticipation? We don't even know we're blessed of God. We don't even realize we're the blessed of God. We don't even think about a blessing. We don't think about the Holy Spirit. We just immediately in those situations go into judgment. Well, I'm not worthy. I prayed enough. Didn't read my Bible enough. I missed church last week, you know. There's no, you know, so I'm in a situation, and instead of being in hope in a situation and anticipation and glorious joy, all right, yeah, my house burned down, all right. But see, really, I know it sounds funny, but Paul just about got beat to death, and Paul is shouting joy, right? Because it's like, well, you know, all these storms and a tree fell on my house, all this other stuff. And, you know, I wonder how God's going to do this. I mean, I just can't. This is a great opportunity for God to just work right here. I wonder how he's going to do this. And this is just awesome. And, you know, well, Lord, insurance ain't going to cover. Lost everything. Don't even close for work. I'm going to be sleeping out in the cold. And, you know, isn't that what we do? Because we're still ruled by fear. Still ruled by fear. Fear comes in. And when the fear comes in, where's the boldness? There is no boldness. And if there's no boldness, there's no walking to the throne of grace to seek mercy in the time of need. There's none of that. I'm just going to sit over here and set myself in judgment. And if I'm not judging everything else, I'm going to judge me. I'm going to judge me not worthy to receive the blessing. It was never about you being worthy. Jesus was worthy. And he's poured it out richly in abundance in his grace because it's who he is. You got found because you got a good shepherd. Not because you cried and said, oh, Lord, find me. You didn't even holler out for him. He came and got you. None saw him. He saw us. We got to get the order right. And no, he said, you are the blessed of God. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? I mean, I go back and I look in the scriptures. You know, he comes to the little woman we were talking about. Her. What has she got? She ain't got nothing but a little jar of oil. What did he say? You don't have enough. He said, that'll do. That'll be plenty. What about the woman with the little barrel of meal? When I look in the barrel of meal, I see one meal left, right? Nowhere in the Bible did it say the meal was running over. Now see, we want to say, Lord, you know, I want to have $1 billion in the bank. He never says that, but I'm saying it can go into all those things. But listen, the woman had enough meal for one meal in the barrel.
Yes.
But when she went back, she was still one meal. And when she went back, it was still one meal. I mean, years ago, and it's still one meal in there. It didn't look like much. Manna on the ground, it don't look like much. But there, one little jar of oil, it don't look like much. So people may look and say, well, he ain't rich. He ain't prosperous. He don't have none of this. But look to you, it may not. My senses are on the edge of going, it ain't enough. It ain't enough. You need more. It ain't enough. But I'm telling you, it's always enough, ain't it? We have paid these bills up here, and Kathy and Patty can tell you it's always been enough. I don't know how it's been enough. Look at us. Look at us. We're a bunch of poor folks sitting here, and we got to pay these bills. We don't know it. I never preach about it. I never ask about it, but somehow or way, it just happens. We ain't missed nothing. Not one time we ain't had to beg, ain't had to send out flyers, stand on the street, sell our kids off. None of that. They've been made every time. Why? Because we're the blessed of God.
Yes.
We're the blessed of God. He's our shield and our exceeding great reward. It's who he is. He loves us.
Yes.
Made us magnets. I'm excited about what's going to come on and take place. I see this boldness. I see God bringing me up to walls that have been in my life, and I'm watching Him tear them down. We don't go, when you're the blessed of God, you don't go through life being a victim.
That's right.
You're not a victim. I've lived in the victim in times. Do you know Joseph could have been a victim? Here was Joseph sold by his own brothers into slavery. Living in Potiphar's house, you know what? He could have been bitter at his brothers. He could have been envious of all the people that had freedom, but he wasn't. Why? Because the Lord was with him. He knew he was the blessed of God. And wherever he did, and look, Joseph didn't prosper. Potiphar did. The pagan slave owner with a whore wife prospered because Joseph. Now, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? I mean, come on, God. Why are you blessing Potiphar? He owns slaves. He's a mean guy, and his wife runs around on him. He needs to get his house in order. But God says, it don't matter. I got my man there. And God looks in your life and says, it don't matter.
That's right.
I got my man in there. I got my man in there. I don't care what's going on. I got my man there. I got my man named the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit in there. So it don't matter. So you don't have to fear anymore. You can take your rest, or if you want to get up and speak to the storm, speak to whatever you want to do. I'm with you. You're the blessed of God. You understand what I'm talking about? So it's this blessing that comes. It's this blessing. Not a victim, but empowered. Empowered with boldness. I'm gonna finish up right here. I skipped my pages. If Joseph had been bitter, if Joseph had the victim, had the mindset of a victim, he would have died a bitter slave. He would have died a bitter slave. How many people in the church world die a bitter slave? A slave to fear, slave to anxiety, slave to despair, slave to the disease that's riddled their body, that's came in, they fought with, and they've given up on it, and they think, this is who I am, this is what I do. I'm going to tell you, I went to Walmart there the other day. I go to Walmart a lot. And I got to noticing. Do you remember, you know, when I'm looking around at some of the older people in here, Josh and them, they won't remember this. Do you remember when you went to a store, they had one handicapped parking spot? And very seldom did it ever have anybody in it. Go to Walmart, so they're waiting in line. How many handicapped spots is up there? They're all over the place. There's bunches. They're everywhere. Go to the store. I mean, used to you had one. And now it has taken over. It's just... And it's people's life. It's their lot. It's the way they live. It's the way they function. And listen, guys, these are Christian people too. And I'm saying it ought not be that way. If we accept the status quo, just go on, and we got our ticket. We'll go to heaven someday. But I'm talking about some game changers. I'm talking about some people who are bold. Some people, you know, we went out there. I'm going to say this with Zach and them. Went out there and played Blacksburg. In the first half, they got their butts whipped. They could have quit. They could have said, you know what, it's too much. I think like that sometimes, don't you? It's too much. ALS, I mean, that's too much. That's a big one. You know, I'm more, okay, if it's allergies, we'll go fight that one. But ALS, how many people have died with ALS? How many people has cancer took out? Those are the big ones. So you just got your butt whipped. So what do? You can't quit, right? And nobody's going to say anything to you. And you can make excuses and say, well, they're 418. They got more people than we got. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. You know, we just can't do it. We just can't. We just, you know what? We can't. They're too tough. But I don't know what happened to them, but they come out the second half and kick butt. Now, what was the difference? Some got empowered. Guys, we're always going to be facing that 4A, 5A team out there, that college level team that'll run it down your throat, stand on you and mock you and say, "Hey, Christian, where are you at now?" That if we don't have boldness and strength and mighty power, we will lose and we'll be crushed. And this is the real deal, as Holyfield would say. This is the real deal. I'm talking boldness. You've been given strength. You've been given the blessing of God, which is God Himself living in you. It's not some separate thing. God Himself is your strength. God is Himself your refuge. God is Himself your portion. God Himself. And if you really truly believe that, then you got to ask yourself, why am I afraid? How could I be afraid in this situation? What manner of man is this who lives in me that can just speak and the winds die down and they become calm and he just walks on the water? And that manner of man lives in you. And he says, why are you afraid? You've been blessed. Yes. The blessing is fear not. You with me? Fear not. This is just the beginning. We're going to keep on going on this thing. I want to get out of the way. I wonder how many people, now I'm not saying we do stupid stuff. I'm not saying all them bunch of idiots down there at Myrtle Beach should have stayed. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I think there's times in the Bible when he would go to the widow woman and said, "Famine's coming, get out." Didn't he? He told the woman, "There's a famine coming." There's a time when the Lord says, "You know what? Today it's a hurricane's coming, and you live on Myrtle Beach, it's going to hit right here. Your house is going to be gone. Get out." So it's time. There is a time to do those things. But think of the great fear and the great anxiety. See, we can go and we can say, "Lord, you gave me the house. The house is gone. You give me another one." Why? Because, I mean, that's just the way the Lord works, right? That's the way He works. And even though my house may be gone, my cars may be gone, my land may be gone, you see, that's why we get up every morning and we pray, what? Lord, give us our daily bread. Even though I work for the railroad, I bypass the railroad and go straight to God because I know God is the one who gives me my daily bread. The paycheck may say Norfolk Southern on it, but that ain't where it comes from. It comes from God. And if it comes from Norfolk Southern, what happens when they're gone? I'm going to starve to death. But you know what? When the crow quits bringing you, there'll be a widow over here. There'll be somewhere else, because it's, Lord, give us our daily bread. It comes from Him. So don't have to worry about the money, worry about the anxiety, worry about all that other stuff. He provides. He provides. All right, guys, I'll get out of your way. Come on, Patty, just close your mouth.